Well, I welcome everybody here. We have several guests. We're happy for that. Since we have several guests, I know that not everybody got the printout or the printout. Not everybody got the lesson sheet that I sent out, as we are going to do the last three periods of the 17 periods we've been discussing since early January. If I have everything correct, Ashley took care of the period of silence, didn't have a whole lot to say, probably. Okay, we'll let that one go then. Before we jump into class, let me ask Brian, would you lead us in a prayer?
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this Lord's Day that you've given us, that we could be here this morning to assemble as children of yours, to worship you and to study your word. We're mindful of those of our number today that are traveling and are away from us, or those that are dealing with health issues, that you would watch over them and see to their needs individually. Father, we're thankful for all the many blessings that you've given us, and help us as we study this morning that our focus would be on your word, and help us to become better servants of yours through our studies this morning. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Got a few copies available we'll hand out now. In how many of those previous periods did we see Christ?
Only in prophecy.
In prophecy. Only in prophecy.
Didn't we see him in Genesis where God said we?
Didn't we see him in Genesis where God said we? What's the point of questions like this? Well, I don't know. You're asking them, so. Were we able to get out of the Garden of Eden without any indication that there would be somebody special coming along? Why?
Because there was an indication somebody special was coming.
Because
there was a prophecy.
Why didn't I think of that? Because there was an indication there was somebody special coming along. Okay. Jared, what was that indication?
When after they'd sinned, there was the statement that the seed of man would crush Satan's skull and Satan would bite the man on the heel.
Okay. For the benefit of our guests and some who have not been here throughout everything, is this the magic point I can't go beyond? We're trying out a different microphone today, and we're going to have to get everything tuned right, it seems. We've been going through, since January, we've been going through the 17 periods of Bible history. I'm not going to ask anybody or everybody to recite them right now. I'm pretty confident most of us know the 17 periods in their sequence. If you don't, well, get ready for a deep dive, and you're going to have to scratch your head a little more as we do the deep dive, maybe. But that is coming 2 weeks from now. We will have Sean going to do Genesis, what boils down to the book of Genesis, but it will cover how many periods? Four periods, and those four periods would be?
Before the flood.
Before the flood. The flood.
Patriarchs.
Skipped one.
Oh, yeah, scattering
the
people.
Scattering of the people. Okay. Before the flood, scattering of the people, and the patriarchal age. But he'll have them right by next week. Don't worry. But for today, let's just go through and see that Christ did appear or was mentioned in prophecy in terms of, yes, we created and so on. He's referred to. How do we see him in the Psalms? What do we call those Psalms that concern Christ?
Yes.
Messianic Psalms. Why Messianic? Why that word? What is it?
It means the anointed one, somebody who has sinned. And so they're Psalms talking about somebody is coming.
Somebody that they were expecting and referring to as the
Messiah.
Okay. All right. And as Rod has already pointed out, numerous prophetic references to Christ. So our study, even though until today, has been largely a look at the Old Testament and that period of silence, which the Bible says not a lot about. It does. What did it say about it, though? There was a prophecy made concerning it. I referred you to a verse in Amos. What was that verse? What did it say? Okay, Ashley, since nobody else is.
Amos 8:11.
Amos 8:11. Take a look there. In addition to the time Ashley spent last week talking about silence, here's a verse that talks about silence, and it says,
"Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord."
Okay, so that period of silence was foretold, was talked about. So let's move along here. We've talked about the reference in Genesis. We've talked about Messianic Psalms, and we've talked about prophecy. Instances in the Old Testament where Jesus is, though not named specifically in most of them, although there were some names given in the book of, he will be called
Isaiah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. There were some specific identifiers given there. What should all those scriptures have done for God's people? What should they have done?
Prepared
them to realize who Christ was. Did it work? Obviously no.
Sort of. I mean, they were prepared for the Christ. They were running around looking for him all over the place. But when he was there, they did not recognize him.
Okay. And from our look at Revelation some time ago, I wonder why they didn't recognize. What was the expectation?
Earthly.
Excuse me?
An earthly ruler.
Yeah, an earthly ruler. Somebody who is going to go out and conquer everybody else, militarily, if you will, and dominate. Well, has he dominated?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh, yeah. Spiritually, at least for those who respond to him. All right. What New Testament books most completely record Christ's birth, life, event, accomplishments, death, burial, resurrection? Real tough question here. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I see being worded here, or see lips moving saying that. So those Gospels. I ask you to read John 1, 1 through 18, and capture a few thoughts to share. And I gave mine away. I had them on a piece of paper. Okay, that's one thought. Okay, those are the things that are said here. What do you think about those things? What are your thoughts about those?
Unity, oneness.
Excuse me?
Unity, oneness.
Unity and oneness among. Who who's that unity and oneness among?
God and the Word.
God and the Word was God, and the Word became. The Word became flesh, and He was light. Who's all this about? So after that period of silence, how is it that God chose to reveal Himself to man again? Through Christ, who had been with Him, who was Him. What others? Down to verse 10, what do you get? Not a reading of it, what do you get?
There's a few places in there where it talks about the rejection of God, of Jesus, that he should have been recognized, he should have been appreciated, but instead he was not known and he was not accepted.
Okay. I'm not going to let this class go without, I don't have the whiteboard, but I'm going to ask you to picture one word that we often use to refer to the way Jesus was disregarded is we say that he was reviled, right? Take a minute and write it down on a piece of paper. Reviled. At least picture it real well in your head. Everybody got it?
Where does that mean?
What does... Okay. Let me finish my exercise first, and then we'll come back, and I'll ask somebody to explain what it means. All right, now take those letters and put them in reverse order. If you spelled the first one wrong, you got a problem. Deliver. Isn't that what Christ did? Christ is the one who delivers us. So the one who was reviled is the one through whom we will be delivered. Okay? Just sometimes think about, look at some of the words we have. Okay, so verse 10, the world received and did not know him. And then verse 11, a little bit of expansion or focusing in on that. Reviled means to?
Reject.
Reject, okay. Disregard, think little of.
Despise.
Excuse me?
Despise.
Ooh, good. Yeah. And they did. Now, it gets more specific in verse 11. The world, we're told in verse 10, the world didn't know him, but what about verse 11? Who's it honing in on?
Jesus.
His own people wouldn't receive him. So if, no if about it, since this is God's way of returning back into communication with people, and we find out they didn't know him, they wouldn't accept him. You see a problem here? Does that problem still exist?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. But so far as those who did receive him, what happens there? Thoughts. Thoughts. I know you can read the text. Some did receive him. Evadel, you're welcome to make a comment.
They were, if they received him, they were granted to be children of God.
Okay. Through receiving Christ, they became God's children. Now, how did Jesus put it elsewhere? I am the way, the truth, the life, and what? Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Okay? So it's here in these early chapters here. But he has explained it, or he will explain it if we go chronologically from this to when he actually said it. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, they beheld his glory. He gives a historical account here in verse 15. John bore witness of him. And then we have in verse 18, how is it God revealed himself to people after that period of silence? Through Jesus. It says here, nobody has seen him face to face, but we have seen Jesus. So there is a little evidence building here, really a lot of evidence building, but there is that. All right, and then I ask you to go to Hebrews and capture, you've got a couple of verses, just capture some thoughts from there. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Kim?
Before you go to Hebrews,
yeah.
I think John also points out to us that every time that God promises, he will fulfill his promise.
Okay, good point. God's promises are true. He keeps them. When we did the first, the second period, actually. What was the second period we talked about? The flood. Was there a promise made back then? And how was it signified? A rainbow. Okay. Has the earth been destroyed by such a flood since then? Such a worldwide flood since then? No. God's promises are true. All right, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. What'd you get out of there?
Jesus is how God's revealing himself at that point.
Jesus is how God revealed himself at that point. And what did Jesus do? Let's talk a little bit about some of the things he did. We don't have time enough to discuss all of them. Even those who recorded them said, John chapter 20, verse 31, what do you have there?
The whole world couldn't contain it. Any other signs and wonders did Jesus in the presence of his disciples? These are written that you may believe in believing in him.
Good. He's just covered a couple of questions and answers for us. What was the purpose of the miracles, the signs, the wonders that Jesus did? That people would believe in him. What was the purpose? Well, that's coming on later. Okay, so Jesus did some teaching. He did some miracles. What kinds of teaching did he do?
Parables.
He taught through parables.
Example.
Example.
Sermon on the Mount.
To groups and to individuals. What about the woman at the well? What about the woman taken in adultery? One-on-ones occurred. What about the time that he spent talking to Peter and saying, get this right, Peter. Understand what I'm trying to get across here. The time with those who were closest to him, small groups, and then large groups. So when we are charged later on to be ready to give an answer for our faith, in what sorts of circumstances do you think that ought to be?
Whenever the circumstance,
whatever circumstance there is. Yeah.
When
the opportunity is there, yes. And sometimes we need to make some of those opportunities. You know, sometimes we pray for, how do we word it? Give us opportunities to spread your word and so on. Wait a minute.
So it shows the scope. It doesn't have to be somebody who can get up behind the pulpit and give five lessons.
Okay, it does not have to be the preacher spreading the
support.
Good point. Yes, sir.
We pray that we might say the things that will encourage someone else to turn to Christ with the example.
Right. And a lot of times I think of it in terms of just help me recognize the opportunities that are there. Go ahead, sir.
We have many, many more instances shown in the Bible of people teaching others than we do from a, say, pulpit.
Yeah.
A lot of times we fall into the preacher does it at the pulpit, and if we can't get somebody on Sunday, we'll wait till next Sunday.
Ooh.
If you look how it was in the beginning of Acts, it doesn't say on Sunday they grew the church, and on next Sunday they grew the church. It was day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot more personal work than...
Yeah. So that's part of my point for us when we pray, you know, about the opportunities and so on. I think we ought to be thinking at least at times in terms of help me recognize the opportunities you've put here for me. It's a matter of our looking at what's happening and looking and listening to the people around us and saying, you know, I can help you with that. I can show you message that will help you at this time with that issue or with that problem, instead of praying, give us opportunities. We've got the opportunities. So
what about that song, bring a soul to me or something? It's a beautiful song, but I don't know it well enough.
All right. What about this song, Bring Me Some Soul Today, or something like that?
I love that song.
What are most of our songs? Some of them are clearly just repetitions of Scripture, and that's fine. Some of the rest of them are based on some man's interpretation of, you know, how can I take this verse, this thought, and put it to music and so on and so on. And that's all fine, but let's realize that some of these songs are man's words. Not that they are wrong in intent or anything, but we're singing wording that somebody has put together, or in the case of Fannie J. Crosby, some woman has put together. What's our singing command? What is it? Sing and make melody in our hearts, doing what? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Okay? And I hope our book is filled with that kind of material. Go ahead.
Just a clarification point. It is not inappropriate to pray for opportunity.
Okay.
We are commanded to do so, actually. In Colossians 4, verse 3, Paul says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ.
Okay. Point well taken. But I still believe many times we miss or disregard and need to be reminded and pray for the ability to see and take advantage of those opportunities. Yes, pray for them, but also pray for our own smartness to realize. Yes, sir.
That's what I was going to say. Recognize the door opening.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So Jesus taught in many different ways and to many different sizes of audiences. So when we are told, be ready to give answer, sometimes it might be one person. You know, I've had circumstances at work where one person comes along and says, what do you think about, and he'll name a passage or so. And there are other times where there are a group of people who say, let's talk about. Better be ready. He performed miracles, and that's already been well answered. What was one of Jesus' promises? And I gave you most of the wording here. He was talking with Peter. I will build my church. So which number of the 17 periods does this bring us to? This would be number
16.
So for those who are keeping track of the 17, this would be number 16. The early church is the 16th of the 17 periods of Bible history. Where do we read the most concise history of the early church, its establishment, etc.? The book of Acts. Started with, who was still present in the first chapter? Briefly. Jesus, okay? And he ascended. And where is everybody looking? And the question is, why are you looking up? And the answer was, what was the answer? He's going to come back. Now, we know through other passages and deeper study, is he going to put foot on the earth? Sorry?
Meet
him in the clouds. So the teachings about his coming back and putting feet on the earth and setting up a kingdom, etc., what happens there? What's the basis for that kind of thinking? Those who are his are going to meet him in the air.
What about the passage about him setting foot on Mount Olives?
What's that figurative of? What's figurative regarding that mount? Remember, the Bible has some figurative language in it. I suggest you do a little digging on what the significance of the mountains are. Go ahead.
Well, I'll put references in the Bible to the holy city of Zion.
Right.
And it's considered to be the mountain of Zion. So that is the church. That's what we're in. We're in this holy temple.
Who is the head of the church? Who is the king of all? Who is king of kings? That's who has authority?
Christ.
Okay. Christ has the authority. There are different ways his authority is expressed. Okay, where was I? What was my last? He established his church. Oh, we were in Acts 1. There we go. I knew if I played the tape far enough, I'd get it back. Okay. He's going to return. Yes, he is going to return. When? Okay, nobody knows. But. Yeah, and that one I think we'll get some discussion when we get to Matthew 24. I think we need to talk about that a little bit when we get to Matthew 24. All right, so Acts chapter 2. What do we see? What did many hear there? Rod?
No, I was just going to say that in chapter 1, that he told his apostles to wait in Jerusalem.
Good point.
For the promise of the Spirit. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 2.
Okay, good point. He was going to send, and what was his term?
Comforter.
A comforter. And we know that from what from the rest of the New Testament, we've got God's word delivered. What am I doing?
That's Derek in the back room.
Oh, okay.
We're blaming Derek.
I was wondering how I could do that, you know. Yeah. All right. So Acts chapter 2. How is this happening? What is it that was happening? Because that was their question. All these people, different nationalities, different cultures, backgrounds, and so on. What did they say?
How is it we're hearing them each in their own language?
Yeah. How can we all hear these Galileans speak in our languages? So, when people talk about speaking in tongues, what's the biblical sense of speaking in tongues?
Dennis said languages.
I'm sorry, languages. Yeah. Known, but different for many of us. Yeah. For me, English is a second language. My first one is West Virginian. Okay? So, and every now and then I get reminded that, Where'd you get that word? Okay. Well, some folks will know some of those words. But all right. So they heard them. They heard these Galileans speak in their tongue. And what was it? Peter got up and said, if you'd think back to some one of the prophets, which one? Joel. You were told about this. You were told that this day would come. So should it have been such a surprise? Okay, so we go through Acts, and there are some notable characters there. There are some things that come up that you say, whew. So that early church had some problems. And you say, that early church took care of people. That early church had some notable personalities. In Acts chapter 5, what happened there? What was the circumstance? Two main characters, Ananias and Sapphira. And what was happening? Everybody else was contributing to the treasury for needy saints, etc. And Ananias comes along and says, this is what I got. I sold some land and this is what I got. Was that true? No, not entirely. He held back some. Did he have the right to hold back? Sure he did. The problem was he lied about it. What happened to him? Struck dead. Whew. Not really an act of the early church in that case, but an act of... It was an act of God, and it was effected through... Sorry, the apostles. The apostles. Okay. A little bit later, Sapphira comes along, tells the same story. Same thing happens to her. So why such what we think of as a harsh? Yeah, go ahead.
It's not unlike Nadab and Abihu at the beginning of the law of Moses. God had to make it clear that there would be punishment for those who violate the law.
Yeah, and lying is clearly a violation. Okay. One thing we have stressed throughout our study of the Old Testament, the necessity of, starts with an O, obedience, okay? And since this is my last time to lead this class for quite some time, I'm going to have to just one more time refer you to Numbers chapter 24, verse 13, which says... And when you really go digging, you go back to chapter 22 and verse 18, you find very similar wording, but I really like the way 24:13 puts it. So he were to give me all his silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or evil. That's one reason why we are so rigid, if you will, regarding the manner in which we as a congregation do things. We've got to have authority for the things we do. We've got to be able to say, this is why. This is why we do it this way. Because we believe this is what God's Word tells us. This is how He tells us to do it. Okay? Other notable people. I think one of the most notable people in the book of Acts, for me personally, is Saul, who later became Paul. Okay? Saul. One of the biggest, number one Christian persecutors there was at the time. People shook at the name. And he's on his way to go drag some more into captivity and put him in prison and so on and so on. And what happens to him along that road to Damascus?
Blinding flash of light.
I'm sorry, sir?
Blinding flash of light.
Yeah. I have to think of it in terms of this is a real come to Jesus moment. You know, you hear that term thrown around a lot. But I think that was really a come-to-Jesus moment. Because what's the question? First, what's the first statement? First question, really?
Why
are you persecuting? Whoa, who's talking to me? I'm out here doing what God wants me to do, aren't I? I'm taking care of, I'm preserving Jewish history, Jewish tradition, etc., etc. So his natural question was, who's talking to me? Who was talking to him? What was the answer? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Uh-oh. I am in a world of hurt. This Jesus I've been persecuting, these people I've been carrying away, and so on. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? So what was he told to do? Go in town. There's a street called Straight to somebody whose name is Ananias. Stay there. You'll be told what to do. That's important, isn't it? You'll be told what to do. It's not that you're going to get some lightning strike blinding. Well, yeah, he was blinded. Some unexpected and otherwise miraculous revelation. How was he going to get the instruction what he must do? He would be told. How is it people today learn what they must do to be acceptable to God? Must be told. What's Romans 10:17 or so have to do with? How will they hear without a preacher? They must hear. Okay. All right. So we know the rest of the story. Ananias is contacted by the Lord. Hey, I want you to go see this guy, Saul. Yeah, you must be kidding me. Are you serious? This is the guy who puts people in prison. You really want me to go see him? Yeah, I do. And he'll listen. Okay, so Saul, I think, pretty important. Another one of Saul's, Paul's, peers, also starts with a P. Peter. So, did Peter and Paul always see things eye to eye? Were they both Christians? Were they both disciples of Christ? Were they both apostles? Paul described himself as an apostle. He wasn't with that original 12. But if you look at the Greek in 1 Corinthians and you see this thing, Cletus Apostolos, it's not talking about some Greek hillbilly. It's talking about called apostle. Paul described himself as called apostle. I think we covered that in the class here not too long ago. In what sense was Paul an apostle? Did he spend time with Christ?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He had quality time, I think. Whole different environment, wasn't it? Saw some things that, boy. But anyway, Peter. Some other notables. Aquila and Priscilla. What do you see in the book of Acts?
Conversions.
I'm sorry?
Conversions.
Ooh, very good. Cornelius, the first. Okay. All right, so we could go on and on. But what's the last period? The last period we refer to as letters to Christians. Some of them to individuals, as we've been looking at Timothy and Titus. We know about Philemon. We know that some of those letters to Christians were to individuals. And many of them were to whole congregations. To the churches of. You know, and just pick one and you could start just seeing the depth of the riches that are in there. You know, Galatians. The one thing that always impresses me about Galatians is the way Paul put it, you know, if I or an angel, or if anyone or an angel from heaven, or if I myself come back and teach you something other than what I taught you the first time, let him be accursed. What does that say? To me, that says the same thing that Numbers 24:13 says. Obey God's word as it is revealed. Do things God's way. Don't add to it just because you think, well, this would be good. We could have more people come in if we did this. Do it God's way. Ask Nadab and Abihu if it makes a difference whether or not you do it God's way. Ask Uzzah, does it make a difference? Who was the guy who took something when they tried to, when they conquered Jericho? Achan? You think he learned whether or not it made a difference? You know, that was one of the key events we looked at from that period of time. You know, they weren't successful taking Ai first time they went after it. Because one man took something when they were told, don't. Oh, but we could have this to do this with. God said, don't. The message to us ought to be, don't. All right. Last time I'm going to ask you for it. The 17 periods are, number one, before the flood. The flood, scattering of the people, wandering in the wilderness, question back here. That would be one of several things. God told us
in your privacy in your home, if you're listening to some music where no one else would be fine looking at you, then you should be able to listen to music. And when you come to church and worship service, that's a different set of standards. Of course, there's no instrumental music in the worship service. Everybody that is, you have people that listen to cowboy music, all kind of music in their personal and private life in their home where no one should be spying on them.
That's a whole other topic that in my 30 seconds I've got left, I'm going to have to defer to someone else or to me for another time. But it is a good question. It is something that I know has gotten a lot of discussion in places. It has to do with, may I listen to, for example, I got to do this, Elvis's version of How Great Thou Art or something like that. What if I sing along with that? Am I sinning? And so on. There's a good question there. So, until we know for sure, until we're convinced in it, if you're in doubt about something, what's the advice from Scripture? Don't do it. Okay. I really appreciate your participation through these last almost 6 months. Ashley's going to wrap it up next week with a review, and you will probably have to name the 17 periods and links and that kind of thing. Thank you. I'm told we are going to use the downstairs expansion facility this morning.
You're on week four.